Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me here on a pickleball court is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. Trying to trigger me with all this pickleball. I think that's a tennis court.
You know what? It does. I think this is actually behind me is. I think it's a tennis court that was converted into a pickleball court because I believe it's a pickleball court. But either way, it's an affront to humanity. We will say that. But everyone, welcome back. We had a wonderful break for Thanksgiving, for American Thanksgiving. I feel very rejuvenated, rested and rejuvenated, full of turkey, still eating that turkey. Ronnie, you looked like you had a wonderful time going down to Nashville, huh?
Love Nashville. Yeah, we've gone there a lot of times to perform for Watch What Crappens, and I've always liked it, but I just wanted to like check it out more, and so I did, and it was so much fun. We got a house, and we had a couple families there, and we played canasta, because that's the mom thing. They love the canasta. Fun. So we did that, and we ordered in food, and I realized that people in Nashville sing nasally like me, so I'm going to become a country person, so we'll get ready. I've got some Morgan Wade covers coming right up, and walked around in boots. And one day I just rented a car and ditched everybody and went to look at houses and pretended I was like a local. And I was like, you know, my kids are going to be starting school. And I did all that good stuff. And I pretended I was another person and saw houses. And that was fun. So thanks to Gail out there for showing me around.
Your realtor? Gail, yeah. The realtor? Or was it Gail Simmons? My dear friend Gail Simmons loves going to open houses, but unfortunately she always confuses them for open face sandwiches. Bless her heart.
Finally, my good friend Gail found me a house I wanted to move into. Unfortunately, she ate it.
We're still teaching her that she doesn't have to eat the door, she can just open it.
It's called interest rates, Gail, not interest cakes.
So anyway,
by the way, we don't think Gail Simmons is fat. We're not fat shaming anybody. Padma Lakshmi is mean to Gail Simmons in our recaps, which is now over because Padma Lakshmi is leaving because she came out with some show on Hulu, so now she thinks she's just too fucking good for it. So you know what, on this is not Thanksgiving anymore, so I'm gonna spread a little things, some things I'm not thankful for. I'm not thankful for Padma getting too big for her goddamn britches. Get back to Top Chef. I'm sure Kristen's going to be great. I don't want to watch Kristen, okay? I like Kristen. I want a Padma. I want a Padma. Give me Padma.
I want Padma all the time. Thank you. Although I think someone told me that Padma unfollowed Gail. I don't know if this is actually true or verified, but if she did, I think that's hilarious that Padma would unfollow Gail.
She would never.
I don't think she would ever. I mean, we could literally check it, but I don't feel like going down that path. I like having the mystery surrounding this, wrapped in enigma, wrapped in cash. So today we are talking about Real Housewives of Potomac, who will be going to your neighborhood, Ronnie, next week, it appears, in Austin. But for right now, they are not in Austin. They are just going to a pickleball court. Before we dive into that, of course, tonight we've got Crappy Hour. Hello. Come join us on Instagram at Watch What Crappens. That's going to be at 5:30 on the West Coast, 8:30 on the East Coast. We're going to talk about Bravo gossip, whatever's going on with these shows. Basically, we chat about all the headlines and stuff. It's live, so you guys can write comments and questions. We'll read them on the air and stuff. And then this is also on YouTube. We also have a simulcast on YouTube. But then for the last 15 minutes, that's IG exclusive. And we bring you guys up on stage and you guys can talk and ask questions and all that stuff. So It's so fun. You may have listened to the episodes here on the feed. So again, watch what crappens on Instagram, at Ronnie Karam, at Ben Mandelker. Follow all three and your life will be infinitely richer and full of more joy and
fun. Less sorrow. Also this week for recap, so this is obviously Potomac, and then we're going to be doing Crappy Hour, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, Miami, and Southern Charm. Those are the recaps this week. We will talk a little bit about what ends up happening on Below Deck at the beginning of one of these other recaps, but we will not be recapping Below Deck this week, I don't think, because it's too much. And really, we just want to see Kyle get fired. And so that will either happen or not happen in the first 5 minutes. So.
Also, we could probably recreate it right now. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Kyle, there's just no room for someone like you on this boat. I'm going to have to let you go. All right, Cindy, I understand. You know, I've never been in such a low moment in my life ever before, and I just feel like people don't understand because, like, I had to take on so much from Natalia, and now here I am fired because of her. That's basically what it's going to be.
I think she's going to say, you know what we don't need on this boat? People like you. You know what we do need? People who need hugs. Do you need hugs? Oh, do you need hugs? Good, you're going to stay on the boat. You are promoted to assistant captain. Okay, hug neater? Congratulations. It's going to be like, you do not control me, bitch.
Okay, Cal, I'm going to need you to get up off the floor. Is this one of your panic attacks? It's just that there's so much going on. I miss Frank.
Frank! I'm having an anxiety attack because Frank's not here.
When I was 14 years old, I once had such a terrible day that I spilled over my orange juice, and to this day, this haunts me, and I've never felt so bad until this moment right now. I call this my new orange juice moment.
I can't even eat hot dogs anymore. Why, Kyle?
Because they're called Frank!
So yeah, that's tonight.
Halloween was very painful when I saw Frankenstein.
I said, Frank!
You know, when I walked by the Lisa Frank store, I just couldn't even deal anymore.
Okay, so Potomac in a pickle is what this episode is called. It doesn't matter the size of our home. I'm always the queen of this castle. Okay, Mia. So now we get plane shots, and NECA is at the airport looking for her husband, who I believe is wearing his scrubs.
He wore the scrubs on the plane, yes.
Doctors, nurses, thank you so much for everything you do for us, because you really do. And I think that people do not feel as thankful for you as they should until, of course, they're in the hospital. And then they're like, oh my God. Okay, that said, don't wear your scrubs. Here's why, on the plane. Because it's a very scary time with germs. And I don't know what you've been doing in those scrubs. To me, scrubs are for, like, taking care of sick people. So I'm like, did you take a Silkwood shower in your scrubs? I don't know.
What Ron is trying to say is, he don't want no scrubs.
Yeah. Well, I'm just scared of germs, you know, but also I was just flying. I mean, I'm sure that doctors and nurses wouldn't purposely spread germs. They know what they're doing. They're like, these are clean scrubs, stupid. So I get that. Like at the end of the day, you got nothing for nothing. I do get that. But also I'm scared, you know, and then there are a lot of people wearing masks and stuff, staying safe, which you should on the plane this weekend. But there were also a lot of people doing this, like just that one cough. Yeah. And then I would like hope that they die. I would be like, I can't believe you just made
it. How dare you cough on the airplane? Yeah, this reminds me of, did I tell the story about last year when I went to Miami, how I was like flying back next to two people who were just like coughing and wheezing, and it was driving me absolutely nuts. Did I tell that story? And how like I was so furious at them, but of course I was like very passive aggressive, and like I was so mad, and like I offered the woman tissues and she refused them. I was like, I'm offering you tissues. This isn't even a political stance by any means, like, you know, how people feel like masks are political. And so she was like, no. So when the plane landed, I offered her a mask. I was like, here, do you want this for your next flight since you're coughing everywhere? And she was like, glared at me. And that was a big win for me. That was a win.
Because
I made her so uncomfortable in that moment. Yeah. I made her really uncomfortable the way she was making me uncomfortable the entire flight.
Well, but good point for you. This. You should feel uncomfortable if you ever do this. You should definitely feel uncomfortable. Now, did I do it? Of course, because it was cold and I was sniffling. And I also did this a lot. See, and then people would look at me, and then I'd look at them like, how dare you? Turn around. You'd be so lucky to get my germs. Turn around.
See, now I get upset when I see people in scrubs and non-scrubs environment only because it makes me reflect on like, wow, look at this accomplished person who's actually like helping people and has actually gone and received like training in this like difficult path, whether it's nursing, whether it's medical, whether it's anything. And I'm like, and I'm podcasting. I'm talking shit about people on TV. So it just makes me reflect on my life choices and I get mad. So then I deflect it onto them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just a hypocrite. So I want everyone to have my germs because I feel like my germs are good. But then if they try to give me their germs, I'm like, get out. Get off this plane. Okay, so the point is Ike and NECA are in the car together because yes. He just flew in somewhere in his scrubs, which now I feel guilty for saying anything scrubs. About.
Listen, there's a whole song about it, Ronnie. Don't worry. There's a whole song about it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Refer to Candy if you don't like that I said that. Come for Candy, not for me.
You're gonna get like the View treatment.
Yeah, remember when that happened? That's what I'm thinking of. Of course,
Michelle. No. I know you weren't trying.
Listen, I've got way worse to say. Let's just let that one go. So okay. They're talking about how they need to bang because they're trying to have a baby, and you know, NECA not doing much for me. How are you feeling so far? Now, listen, I know really this like is her. A tough cast to just walk right into and be extremely entertaining right off the bat. So I give her that. But she posted something on her Instagram. Well, why don't you give me your opinion, and then I will tell you what I think.
I actually really like her a lot, and I feel like she's been thrust into this stupid storyline, which is not fair, but I have no reason to dislike her right now. I like her. I think she seems pretty sharp, and I liked how she just like had no problem taking on Wendy, you know, because Wendy is like very difficult to argue with, right? First of all, Wendy's very smart, so and she has a very sharp tongue and she's quick, but also she does like a war of attrition thing, which is that once Wendy starts going, then you can't get a word in edgewise, and then it's exhausting.
She does repeat arguing, where if yeah. she doesn't want to argue about something or she doesn't want to be called out, she will pick one phrase and just repeat it over and over very loudly. It's like a person. It's like when you were a teenager and you just wanted to be a little asshole and you would like walk into the 7-Eleven and then just stand in the sensor and just be like, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. They'd be like, get out of the door. And you're like, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Ding dong. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, here's my opinion. Ding dong. My opinion. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Well, I just feel like NECA, I just like she gets in there, and you know, she is a lawyer, although I don't think she's a trial lawyer, but she, meaning that like, what I was going to say is that she got in there and she was great with her words too. Like she was not like, Wendy did not cause her to mess up.
So what are you saying? She's a trial lawyer. So she was only good with the written word. No. She's like, well, you listen here, dear sir or madam.
Well, I was like, she's a lawyer, so therefore, like, the implication is, well, lawyers are used to, like, standing up in trial in court and, like, stating their case and, like, being undeterred. Yeah. But she's not necessarily a trial lawyer, so that may not apply here. But I wonder if, like, she's counsel to, like, a company. So maybe, like, just being counsel gives, like, a clarity of thought about making your arguments. So I liked her. I liked the way that she that she held her ground against Wendy. So I'm
pro. Well, that's later. Okay. But for right now, I'm like, I don't know. So this is the post she made. This was on her Twitter, not her Instagram. Sorry. And I got it from Bravo Real Housewives, my favorite, on Reddit. It says, I have a publicist who handles all of my media and public relations. Any statements or communications attributed to me that do not come directly from my publicist or her office do not represent my views and should not be considered official. P.S. There's nothing to clean up when you're telling the truth. Well, when you're telling the truth, but how do I know about your publicist or whoever? Yeah. And why do you can't post this when you have like 4,000 followers?
But what did she say? It's whatever she's saying sounds like it's, did she get into trouble for something?
I couldn't even find the part where she got in the trouble. I just found the part saying, I have a publicist. And my, it's like, you've been on Housewives for 2 minutes. Okay. Please stop with your.
I want to release a clarification statement when there's nothing to clarify and see how people react. Just like, I just want everyone to know that unless you hear it from me, please, please, please question what you hear. Because unless it comes from me, it's not necessarily real. People like, what happened, Ben? I'm like, no, nothing.
I mean, I'm sure there was something, but I, you know, this is Watch What Crappens, so you only get one little shrivel of the story. Now, in my own defense, I did, or not shrivel, what am I trying to say? One little strip of the story. But in my defense, I did try to look, but I couldn't find anything because she's got like two tweets. Yeah. And then I was like, is this a trick to make me look through all your tweets? Because there's nothing here. Okay. Objection. And that comes from a non
sustained.
That comes from a non-practicing lawyer, a non-trial lawyer. This is a person who's only watched Matlock. Objection. Yana.
So either way, Ike arrives in his scrubs from the plane, and then he drives them back, and they're talking about ovulating and everything. You know, the usual thing that we've seen for years on Bravo, a couple trying to have a baby, literally don't care. At this point, we understand how babies are made, and there's no further insight that we're getting. It wasn't interesting when Candace did it. It wasn't interesting when Megan King Edmonds did it. I'm sure there are a lot of people that maybe do connect with this material, but for me, I don't. And so I'm just like, whatever. I don't care about that. But anyway, we learn that the issues that they have is that he's a travel doctor, and so he travels for 1 week a month, but then he's back for a week, and it's like, doesn't work well with their the ovulation and copulation schedule.
Yes. So then Karen is on the phone with her, right? She's like, hi, it's Karen Hugo. You're welcome. I wanted to invite you and your hubby to play pickleball with the group. And with the group, I mean the institution. Ray and Karen, pickleball, pickleball king and queen.
Well, somebody in this group has to bring everybody together. Candace and Ashley need healing. Candace and Giselle need healing. Candace and the representative from Comcast need healing. I mean, she's getting into a lot of fights, okay? Mm. But for me personally, it's me and Robin. And, you know, Juan is a Don Juan right now, and we all need healing. So pickleball might bring us together.
So much healing. Ashley, Robin, Giselle, fashion, me, fences trying to copy my trademark.
There's just so much that needs to be done. So Neca's like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, pickleball. Wow, that's going to be really fun. And Hank's like, I don't know what it is, babe. She goes, I don't know either.
And it she's like, nice. But you know what? She did say that all the ladies are coming, and that means Wendy's going to come. And you know how aggressive and upset her and her sister and her mom were about us. And then she tells us, she's like, 2 weeks, 2 weeks before my something.
Housewarming.
Ashley's housewarming. The housewarming or whatever. We hear that NECA's good friend and cousin, Leba, got a phone call from Wendy's older sister, Ivy. And then we see a clip of Leba on the phone. And she's like, my bar is called Bubbles and Boobies. And then she's like, I don't know you. She's like, sorry, didn't you call for Leba? I'm like, no, we called for Leba. She's like, oh, okay.
Sorry, so wrong real number. So then real Leba came on. She's like, sorry, hey, I'm at this bar called Bourbon and Bubbles. And she's,
I'm at this bar called Leba and Leba. It's people who don't have a lot of screen time but cause a lot of shit. It's a really good.
Sorry, movie. I'm at a concert for Yeba. So
I don't even know what that means. I don't know why.
There's a singer named Yeba. Sorry, I'm at the Flintstone Editions. Leba Leba Do.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so one of those days. So, love is basically
it's not
going to
get better. By the way, anyone who's already pissed off, just go away. Sign off now, because this is going to get dumber as we go. I promise you
that. It's going to get worse. It's by the end, we're just going to be doing sock puppets on Crappies on Demand. it's a flashback. Leb is basically just saying how, like, Ivy called and was like, wow, and is accusing NECA of clout chasing by using Wendy's name, which is hilarious that anyone's trying to clout chase with Wendy, who is trying to start some sort of, like, TV show for gas pumps in an apartment somewhere in, like, Bethesda, Maryland. So NECA's like, well, I've never had somebody where it seemed like, you know, her sister and her mom were trying to prevent me from interacting with these women. And you can see Ike just doesn't care. He's like, babe, I just want to go home. I don't really care about this.
And he's like, well, you know, maybe instead of seeing you as a fellow Nigerian, they're seeing you as a Nigerian that wants to take someone's spot, which I like that that's just a type. It's like, maybe they look at you as the Nigerian who's stealing a spot. And I was like, wow, are there spot stealers? It's like, maybe I'm not just a gay. Maybe I'm a gay trying to take the gay spot, the other gay spot. I'm taking gay Ben's spot.
Token is like it's rival tokenism is sort of what he's saying,
and so, actually that makes sense, right? Because you know, obviously I'm not a person of color, but as a gay person, you get that a lot. Like on improv teams, there was only one gay, if that.
Right.
You know, there's like two girls and one gay on a team, and so you better get that spot. And if there's another gay coming, you better push him down the stairs because there's only one gay spot.
Only one gay on improv, okay?
So I'll tell you, there's a lot of gays with hurt ankles around me in improv. There were a lot of people from my class who just like got limps because something just kept happening to them. It's very sad.
You're like, see the stage? This is mine. And then you slam the door, but it's like an invisible door because it's improv.
Every time they try to talk, I just swipe the scene. I just walk right in front of them. I'm like, your scene's over.
Freeze. Guess what? You're no longer at a party. You're in an alley being kicked out there by me.
You're a fish. Troop. Fish don't talk.
Okay. Can you do a scene of you being rejected from this improv troupe? Because that's what will be happening very soon. It might be method.
Can you reenact putting your ankle into a wood chipper? Okay. And they're down. They're down.
It's my turn. Hey, while you do your scene, we're going to reenact a scene of us being in a different place, so we're all gonna leave.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's.
Today, hip-hop dominates pop culture, but it wasn't always like that. And to tell the story of how that changed, I want to take you back to a very special year in rap.
88, it was too much good music. The world was on fire.
Fire, yeah. I'm Will Smith. This is Class of 88, my new podcast about the moments, albums, and artists that inspired a sonic revolution and secured 1988 as one of hip-hop's most important years. We'll talk to the people who were there. And most of all, we'll bring you some amazing stories.
You know what my biggest memory from that tour is? It was your birthday.
Yes, and you brought me the Sade life-size cardboard cutout.
This is Class of 88, the story of a year that changed hip-hop.
Listen to Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the entire series right now on the Amazon Music app or Audible.
Commercial.
So either way, Ike is like saying, well, maybe she's worried that like that you're going to try to like, take the spot as the quote unquote like Nigerian on the show. So so then they're like talking about like this pickleball game. And then NECA's like, oh, yeah. And it's the husbands are going to be there, including your old college pal, Eddie. Huh? So then we find this really interesting and hilarious twist where NECA says, you know, my husband went to University of Maryland, College Park, and Eddie attended the same university, and they were on the same, like, they went to the same, like, African-American Association meetings together, and so they know each other, and then right after Wendy's mom called about the shrine, Eddie stopped following Ike, and she goes, on Facebook, of all platforms! It's like, why even Facebook? Who cares about Facebook? But then to my question in all this, by the way, is how did they know Like, you're not going to know unless you go to look to see if someone's unfollowed you. So were you looking to see if they probably were looking before this show started to be like, who follows me already? And then maybe they went back and looked again, because like, to know that someone unfollowed you on Facebook means that you had to also do some sort of like sweaty work there, right?
Right. And then there's other questions too, like, did he unfollow you or did he unfriend you? Because unfriending you is really harsh. But unfollowing
is what happened. Unfriending is what happened.
But she did say following. So I don't know. That's what I meant,
because I don't think you don't know if someone's unfollowed you. You only know if someone's unfriended you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so there you go. So I don't really know, but I thought it was hilarious, A, that Wendy would be like, oh, really? This girl thinks she's going to come for me? Then you're going to, everyone's going to call her, and then you're going to unfollow her husband. And then he's like, really? Yes. And then the fact that she's like, oh, really? I just got a call from Leba, and Leba got a call from the mother of, and you know what we're doing? We're going on Facebook to see if he has unfollowed you. That's what we're doing next.
Wendy's like, we're going to hit them where it hurts. An unfollow on Facebook, the most relevant social media platform of all.
I can't wait to send them twump memes onto somebody else's name.
You better make sure your Friendster account is not still active, because if you're still connected to him, I swear.
By the way, whoever keeps hacking my dad on Facebook, just give it a rest. Like, seriously, it's like the easiest target ever. He's hacked every week. Just leave him alone. Like, what are you getting out of it? You already feel stupid enough, okay? You won, hackers. You won. I mean, I'll just get some random Trump meme, and I'll be like, Dad, seriously? And then I yell at him. Well, don't yell at him, but I'm like, Dad, please stop with this. Look, I didn't do that. I've been hacked again. I can't get into my account.
Oh, maybe it's time for him just to leave Facebook then.
I know.
Might not be a good match.
But that's like the modern world for him. He can't do that. That's like saying goodbye to like modern cars, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just give up. You've got to figure
like
out
how to telephone.
You've got to figure out how to pick a password one day, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So so NECA is basically like, it seems like Wendy wears the skirt and the pants in that house. Oh, is that too much shade? Is that too mean? I was like, lady, that is, compared to what is about to come your way on this show for the rest of the season, this is nothing. You better get used to going a little harder than that.
It's not too mean. It's lame and it's sexist, but it's not really mean. It's just stupid. So then we go to West Potomac Park, and Robin is meeting Giselle at a bar, and they're talking about the boys, you know.
It's like, oh my God, they're having growing pains. The one has a broken foot, one sprained his ACL. You know, boys will be boys. One of them ended up paying for a hotel room for an extremely attractive, possibly homeless person that they met on Instagram direct messages.
Yeah, I liked when Giselle asked Robin how the boys were, and Robin literally goes, So, Giselle's saying that the twins are having a birthday soon, and Grace is going to come up the last week of school. Her last week of school is coming up, which I don't adore, but she's been an angel through the process. And
the waiter really is a piece of work here, and he needs to be fired. And I'm going to just say that right now. I hope he was fired. You didn't notice what he was doing? He kept coming up to the table going, hello, dears. Hello.
He did say,
may I get you something, dear? Okay, dear. What can I get you? I was like, you're not in a freaking retirement village. How rude.
He was just hot so he could get away with it. Because I was like, aw. They loved it. They loved it because Robin's like, the waiter called you sweetheart. Giselle's like, yes, sir.
Oh my God, he's young enough for you to pretend to date for a storyline.
Yes, but I think he's in high school. So she said, Giselle saying that she saw Karen recently, and Rob's like, oh yeah, I got a text from her. It said, hi Robin, both you and Juan are invited to join the ladies and others for a fun game of pickleball tomorrow. And then she also said, get off me, just because you can ride me doesn't mean you should sign the fence. I didn't know what that meant.
Then she says, your account has just been debited $437 at the Omni Hotel. Oh, sorry, that was my Venmo. Juan!
So Giselle says, well, she did say that she's open to talk to Juan. Not that Juan wants to talk to her, but is Juan going to come to this pickleball? Because obviously they have their opinion, as they should.
So then Giselle tells us that they just did a live show for their podcast and Juan was there. And so they talked about social media stuff and Juan kind of gave her attitude, basically. And she's like, well, listen, I don't want to have a problem with Giselle just because I have a problem with Juan. Nah.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, you know, Juan kind of came for me, which is funny because Giselle is the primary comer for her in this group. And Robin
this is always like, Giselle starting shit. And then the minute someone says something back, she's like, your husband abused me. So your husband got a hotel room and tried to burn me in the bathtub. So
but we also know what this discussion was. This is Giselle being like, well, Juan, you have to be careful about the things you do because your wife gets all the shit. So you have to be smarter about it. And then he was probably like, no, Giselle, I don't give a fuck what people think. He probably did that. And
I was like, oh, my God, you're yelling. Whoa, the yelling. Whoa, whoa.
And
whoa.
Then he probably said, you know what, Giselle, stay at it. Like, mind your own business. Rob and I will do whatever Rob and I want. And he probably was like that. And she's like, okay, I can't believe you speak to a woman that way. Like, we all know that's what the discussion was.
I don't even think he went that far. I think she was like, listen, maybe Robin has told you things that I've said. And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, well, I think that you need to take more responsibility. And he probably just went, I don't care. So it's like, Juan yelled at me. Juan has yelled at me in this hotel room.
But by the way, I believe that Juan, because Juan has gotten surly with Robin several times. So I would not be surprised if he got a little surly with Giselle.
But he didn't, because then she goes, she says, he kind of came for me. And Robin says, wait, you said he was yelling? And she goes, yeah. Then he sneezed on me and he was in his scrub still from the airplane.
Wow. Is there anything he can do right?
So she goes, yeah, because you told him Giselle doesn't believe anything you've told me. So in my mind, that's yelling. It's like, but it's not yelling, you know? Saying something like disagreeing with all the shit you're talking about him on camera is not the same thing as yelling at you. This is two seasons in a row of Giselle doing this, you know? So I don't believe Giselle.
Well, also, by the way, Robin does Giselle a little dirty because Giselle wasn't saying, I don't believe anything that Juan said, even though that was sort of implied. Giselle was saying, like, you know, he has to pay more attention to the consequences of his actions because it affects you. That's what Giselle was saying. And then Robin relayed it back in a way that is actually not cool for her friend because she basically has pitted her husband and her friend against each other. So Robin is like, but then Robin's like, yeah, well, his hearing is bad because he yells so much during coaching. So he talks even louder. So like, if he was yelling at you, it's because he thought you were a basketball.
That's funny, because isn't he currently in trouble for being too quiet as a coach?
Ooh, look at you. I love that. Love that. I love that shade, Ronnie. That's good.
I mean, it's true. And someone sent us a message saying, just before Ronnie starts ranting again about this,
really?
Juan and the school were dropped from that lawsuit. I have seen nothing that says Juan did, in fact, go to people and report the coach that was sexually blackmailing and harassing the student. So until I do, Juan still sucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, you know, Juan just yells because he's a coach. And Giselle says, yeah, well, I will say that he was not happy with me. And then this is really fishy. Now, listen, I'm not sticking up for Juan here because obviously he's Juan. I'm just sticking against Giselle because she's Giselle. But then we get to this part. Giselle says, well, he did let me know that he was a sexual dude, as most guys are. And then he had some excuses. Okay, so what does that mean? You're a sexual guy and most guys are. So this is Juan. I think Juan is somewhat careful on camera in scenes with Robin to say he didn't do it. But I think he just kind of tells everybody else he did do it. Because later in the episode, he's telling one of the guys like, oh, whatever, I make mistakes. What guy doesn't? Which,
doesn't that
sound like he's confessing?
Not quite for me. For me, it sounded like, but it sounds, Giselle is very funny because what she says here is basically her way of saying, like, he clearly fucked her, right? Because she goes, I mean, he's a sexual dude, as most dudes are, and he did have some excuses, but I did not, Giselle, have sex with her. So I'm like, okay, you said it four times. One time is enough. So she's applying, oh, thou doth protest too much, etc. And like he's saying he's a sexual dude. She is in her Giselle way, which is one of the reasons why I actually love Giselle, because she is so shady the way she does things, is saying like, yeah, I'm going to quote unquote be respectful to about my private conversation with my friend's husband, but yeah, I think he's full of shit. That's basically what
I think she's trying to hint to us that he said, I did stuff with her, but I didn't fuck her. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, he's a sexual dude, as most guys are, but he did not have sex. You know? Mm-hmm. That's what I take from it, but who knows, you know?
Yeah, or maybe that there may have been something happening there. I don't know. But either way, I thought it was her crafty way of saying like, no, of course I'm going to be discreet about our private conversation, but yeah, this is what I think about it.
Well, here's the funny thing. Something happened. Robin is up here denying that her husband was cheating with this Instagram hoe, okay? And Robin is wearing what looks like a politician's wife's dress. And it's blue. She's wearing the Monica Lewinsky blue dress. Like, I cannot, like...
What is that? I don't understand it. It has a big sort of like bow or flower or garnish on it. It's ridiculous.
The symbolism of wearing that in the confessional where you're discussing the I did not have sex with that woman is hilarious. And how did no one pick up on that? You know? Or was it just put there for me?
God. Well, either way... Basically, Giselle, for the sake of her friendship with Robin and perhaps her podcast, she has clearly decided, like, okay, I'm moving on. So Robin's like, oh, by the way, the waiter's 28. Waiter's 28. Okay, I should not be telling you this, but she's like, oh, good. Tell me then. So she's like, okay, so I was asked not to tell anyone. So this is the craziest shit I ever heard. So Nika's cousin has been like really close friends with like Wendy's sister Ivy. And so she goes and she tells the whole story about Wendy's mom and Ivy and the shrine and the curse and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that Wendy is pissed because Nika has told people that she knows Wendy, which again is just a copy of this Karen versus Wendy storyline from her first season.
So glad you brought that up last week.
And then Robin's like, Giselle's like, wait, but didn't they come from the same tribe? And so wait, is Wendy saying that she wants to be the only person from that tribe or what? And Robin goes, that's what it sounds like. And she's like, well, that sounds crazy. Now, obviously, this started because of Ashley. Ashley started this. We cannot forget that Ashley started this. It put Wendy on the defense. And then Wendy told her mom. And then her mom went out and she went on the defense with it, with everybody calling people and threatening them or doing whatever she's doing. This is all Ashley. This is still all
Ashley's fault.
And I can't believe people are fucking falling for this. Now, I believe that Giselle and Robin are, because they hate, you know, they're going to stay against Wendy. They hate Wendy, right?
Yeah. So Giselle's like, oh, so she's a voodoo hexer? Ah! And she's like, I used to be married to a pastor and a shrine, you know, someone's downfall, that's nothing to play with, and I want no parts whatsoever. I'm like, you are going to relish in this, Giselle. You want no parts. You're going to be talking about this all up and down the season.
Yes. And so Giselle's like, well, I hope it's not true. And she's like, that's fucked up. And Giselle says, it's beyond fucked up. It is evil. Because in the Christian religion, I mean, my parents had like a super satanic panic growing up. I mean, everything was satanic, you know.
That was big in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yes, the satanic panic. Yes. And I guess it started with like Charles Manson, right? And this 60s, 70s, or whatever that was. And like the satanic imagery and all that stuff. I mean, Satan stuff didn't start with Charles Manson, but you know what I mean. So they were always very afraid of Satan this, Satan that. That's satanic. And if someone, like, I used to read tarot cards in high school, and my parents were like, oh my God, he's following Satan. Like, he's going down the satanic path. So right, that's Dungeons a huge Dragons thing.
Being satanic. Yeah, sorry.
Say it again.
Dungeons and Dragons was accused of being satanic, and then later Magic the Gathering.
Oh, yeah, a lot of things were. But that's a huge thing in the Christian religion, is devil worship. And anything like voodoo stuff is very the Christian church, at least the way I learned it, is very, very against that stuff because it's signs of the devil, which is also hilarious to me because it's Wendy this season every 5 minutes. So like Catholic, we're so Catholic. Oh my God, we love Catholicism. We just moved to Catholic Street. I'm coming out with a show on national YouTube called Wendy's Catholic.
National YouTube. Yes. So this is a big no-no. Big no-no for super Christian people. And so now we go, another no-no, we go to Candace's house, and Candace is squirting dishwasher detergent directly on the glasses of the top rack of her dishwasher. And I was like, is this a thing that people do? Because it doesn't seem right.
It seems like a Mia move, but then I rewound it because I wanted to see what the hell is going. First of all, Dorothy being in your house can stress anybody out. So I think we should, you know, excuse that because you're just trying to do the dishes and then you hear,
yeah.
It's like, oh, geez, you just start squirting dish soap everywhere. But then I rewound it to see what was
what it's was very going orgiastic. On. Orgiastic. Maybe not orgiastic. That's not the word.
I rewound to see what was going on, and Candace was saying, oh, this dishwasher sucks. You have to actually spray the stuff on the top or the soap won't get to it. No. So she did say something about it, but I did the same thing. I was like, can we stop pretending Candace is like doing the homemaker thing because she changes her foyer every year?
She's like putting light bulbs in there. Listen, I firmly believe that Candace, she probably has like a shitty GE dishwasher. Let's be honest. Okay. So it's probably a shitty appliance that was put in. And on top of that, she probably doesn't know how to do her dishwasher properly. Right. Like, I used to have a shitty GE dishwasher and they basically can't handle that kind of detergent. They like, it's like too heavy. And so then everything is terrible. You have to use little pods. And she probably overloaded her dishwasher. And I just think that this is not the fix. I think that she needs to do better research on how to do her dishes.
Well, Dorothy is sure to make the power move, the controlling yes, power move of just reminding everybody in the audience.
Well, you've been talking about him for 3 years. Maybe I need to get you 2 new dishwashers for Christmas, Candace.
Candace. She's like, well.
It's basically the Robin voice, but just yelling.
Yeah, and Candace is like, oh, well, if you're going to flex about how much money you have, I'm going to flex about being a musician.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, well, can you give me a tour gift? Because I'm going back on tour. I'm like, don't you get a tour gift when you're done with your tour? And is a tour gift even a thing? Because I don't think I've ever gotten a tour gift. We don't get tour gifts. We just get like, you know what my tour gift is? Sleep. That's my tour gift.
My tour gift is a nice stay at the Hyatt Place where you can get a Snickers bar every day if you want to.
Snickers bar is my ongoing tour gift. Actually, lately it's been honestly Twix bars. Ever since we did that, even the Rich taping, and they had that nice setup of candy bars for us. Oh my God, those Twix bars! I'm a real big Twix kick. So let me tell you something. That will be my tour gift. Twix bars every single day.
So they are talking about how they get along better now because Candace's mom really respects that Candace is an artist now. I'm like, okay. Candace's mom respects Candace, and this is just a stab in the dark because she has power again because she's putting money into this tour, and so she feels some control over Candace again. So they're being nice to each other, and Candace has to be nice while she's taking the money. That's what I'm guessing.
And also, Candace,
good for you. You fucking should. And I just want to tell my parents who are not giving me any money, get off your asses, you lazy, lazy fucks, and watch this show and learn from Dorothy. Thank you. I want to go on
tour. Update your passwords. Update your passwords. I think that Dorothy is also happy because this is the closest that Candace has appeared to have had a job in many years, right? Because Candace has, what has Candace been doing since after the singing?
She's been selling hair pieces.
Right, but on the show, like actual, like what has been her, I guess she was selling hair on the show. She was, her sister, right?
That was her first year. Yeah, her sister and her had that.
She was working the restaurant. I think Dorothy is just happy that Candace is doing something with like a little bit of motivation too. But I think your theory is even better that Dorothy has control again.
Who knows? So they go talk about the tour and how it's worth spending all the money because you get exposure.
they also, yeah, they decide to go outside to discuss this. They go out and Candace has this like a large backyard, but it's sort of like sloping. And Dorothy's like, oh, the ground is uneven. Oh, just like criticizing just slopes. She's like, let's see, how can I take my daughter down? Aha, let's criticize the slope. But they sit in this like random ass table all the way in the corner of the yard under like a tree, like under, it feels like in a pile of leaves or something. Why are they sitting so far away? Isn't there a back porch they can use?
They'd love to sit down the hill, right? On this show.
Let's walk down the hill.
Because I remember she did this with Chris once. I was like, why are they walking down the hill? It's just random things you see on these shows, you know, like who cares, but.
Candace is trying to tell us that her relationship with her mom is getting better, but you're literally going downhill. I don't understand.
So Candace is telling us road life is ghetto and raggedy and ashy and there's no moisture.
Have a Twix, girl. Have a Twix or Snickers. Or maybe like do the Ronnie thing. Have a Fruity Mentos. You know like,
I love a Mentos. Oh my God.
There's a way to find joy on the
tour. I love those Fruity Mentos. So then she's talking about her and Chris and how they're fighting a lot because they're spending so much money. And then Dorothy's like, oh, really? So what is he doing for money? Is he working yet? And Candace is like, why are you talking like that, Mom? And she's, you know, which I think Candace is kind of bringing it up so her mom will talk like that. I believe in using your mother's passive aggression as a weapon against your spouse. I think it's good. I think it's a good move. I've seen a lot of people do it in marriages, and I support it.
Yeah. And Candace is like, well, he's doing virtual classes, even though that's not really a thing people do anymore. And he's private chefing events that happen in our kitchen, and I'm the client, and I don't pay because he's my husband. So he's doing that. And Dorothy's like, and is he making money at that? She's like, no, Mom, he's not making anything. And then she sort of gestures the house. Like, of course he's making money. Look at this house that is definitely not plunging us into debt right now.
Well, I would love to know if this is true, because she says when Chris was working at the restaurant, our biggest argument was our money or his schedule, because I wanted to see him and I wanted him to do stuff for me. And then he quit the restaurant to make me happy, because happy wife, happy life. Is that true? Or did the restaurant get sick of being brought up as like a bordello?
Or maybe they got sick of Chris National pushing TV duck quesadillas. I don't know. I will say this. I am intrigued to know how they can afford that big house, given that she is, you know, obviously she has income from being on the show, but Bravo doesn't pay very much, to be honest.
I think right now she's getting a lot. Candace is a big housewife, and Potomac's a big show. They're doing really well.
Well, you know, apparently the payment structure on Real Housewives is like the first season, it's like shitty, right? Every season that you're on, you get more and more money. So she's been on like 5 or 6 years. So she's getting more money. It probably is just from this show, because if he's just doing virtual classes, you know, now that lockdown is basically over, I just don't see that being a huge breadwinner. And if he's not really working, and he also has other kids that he's supporting too. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm looking forward to when it comes out that they owe a huge amount of money on this house, because that's going to be next season.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm guessing housewives money. That's what I'm guessing. So, let's see. I don't really care about any of it. You know, you'd be surprised to hear me say that as I just talked about it for 20 minutes, but I really don't care. They're sitting down a slope talking about money.
Yeah.
So then the mom's like, you know, so they start talking about whoever Candace is fighting with, right? And she's like, you know, I mean, I was friends with Robin, but then she just sat by while her friend told all these lies about Chris, and she was just humping that fence. And you know, you just hear,
yes.
Oh, why am I so aroused?
Yes.
Do me in the picket. I feel like the basis for Candace's feud with Robin is very tenuous. I think this is not Candace's best work. This is not her best feud work. She's had much better.
I'm on her side, though. Robin's such an asshole. And the only reason she supported Candace that whole time was because she knew her husband was cheating on her. And she wanted support when it came out on her. And then the second she could, she jumped to Giselle's side to attack her even more and was never really her friend. So I say, fuck Robin. And I'm team Candace on that one.
Okay. So then Dorothy is
the most
like,
exciting fight? No. But it's a fight with Robin. I mean, Robin can't even make getting cheated on interesting.
That's true. So Dorothy's just like, well, she's like, well, I don't want you to be upset at people for so long and hold it against them. And then you're stressed out. I mean, life will take care of people. I mean, look at you. Look at you. And she's like, well, I don't plan to think about it much, but it's going to be in my face because I'm probably going to see Robin tomorrow because I'm going to play pickleball and it's not going to be normal. It's going to be weird. And I just don't believe the story she's telling. And I believe she's covering for Juan.
And the mom's like, well, that's what adults do, Candace. They discuss things with each other. She goes, well, adults don't lie. And she goes, yes, they do. Fucking of course they do. Talking about, I just told you I'd buy you two dishwashers.
Your husband said he's making enough from virtual classes.
Exactly. So then we go to pickleball, and Ray's like, whoa, Karen, we've both got green pickle outfits on. Well, we've come to support pickles, haven't we? We've got pickles on every table. Matt, make sure we've got jars of pickle on every table. Hold on, I've got a pickle on my nose. Mm? Mm-hmm. Invisible pickle on my nose. Mm-hmm.
Karen is a literalist when it comes to pickleball. I'm sure somewhere Teddy Mellencamp is very furious. It's a real sport and you should treat it seriously. You know, she's like all about pickleball. Of course she is, because it's Teddy. So Karen is just like, I'm just trying to set the tone. You know, I just want to have nothing but fun. Today is all about bringing the girls together, potentially lighting them on fire.
And then Giselle comes in. She's like, whoa, look at you with the green machines.
We are not machines. We are pickles. I am a fence made out of pickles.
Have you ever seen a house fully surrounded by pickles? That's called a pickle fence, and that's what I am.
And Ray goes, pickles are green. Thanks, Ray. Are we still wheeling Ray out? Give the man a rest. Could you just put a blanket over Ray and let the guy relax?
I think he needs a firmware update. Let's have him and Ken sit in the corner. They kind of like, hey, there's a pickleball going on. Knock that ball.
Pickles are green. Pickles are green. Pickles. They're green.
Goodbye, pickle.
So Karen's like, oh, I'm enjoying you now. By the way, Giselle, you're fun since a new boyfriend. You've got that youth injection. And Giselle's like, I never said boyfriend, Karen. And Karen's like, well, there's no shame in picking up a boy toy now and then. I haven't seen him. But, you know, I know Jamal was living in a phone, but Jason hasn't even been in phone. I don't even see Jason. Where are you at, Jason? Out of space. Where's Jason?
So then Mia and Gordon arrive in separate cars. What does it mean? And they sort of hold hands awkwardly. Like it's clearly this marriage is falling apart, as it does later in real life. And they're just putting on airs right now, but it's like airs that no one cares about. And so they get there. Then Karen and Mia do like fake air kisses because they've been on this trajectory of handshakes, and now they're at air kisses, moving up towards proper hug.
So basically people show up and, they're all dressed really cute for pickleball and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Candace comes, Karen's friend Vivian comes, who really doesn't do anything.
Vivian does nothing but react, but God, her reaction game is like A+. They cut to Vivian so many times and Vivian just kept on looking left, right. Like, what did I get myself into? What is happening here? I thought I was literally just supposed to play pickleball. I didn't even realize it was a TV show. All these people are arguing. Now they're talking about voodoo. Oh my God. She was great. I loved her.
So Karen's like, oh, hello, Candace. Look, we're pickles. Half a pickle. They're on the table there. And Candace is like, well, my other half isn't here. His clients. He had clients this morning.
Pickle clients?
No, they're just people.
Pickle people?
No.
Stay with the theme.
Thursday is the day when he puts earrings on the dustbuster and pretends it's someone who wants to eat his food. So don't want to interrupt that for him.
So Giselle's like, oh, do I speak to Candace? No, I do not. Why? Just rewind the tape. Hello, dear. No, further than that.
And then we see a flashback of Candace last season saying your dwindling uterus was just waiting to be put on TV. And you sit up here with your privileged white looking ass and you think you can say whatever the fuck you want to say. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot how nasty that reunion got. Whoa, that was really bad.
That really did. So Candace is like, well, fuck that bitch forever. Her words had a grave effect on my marriage. Fuck her forever. And then Ashley comes in and she brings Stuart, her gay, and I'm assuming, which I guess I shouldn't, but he's like, hey, are you guys pickles? I was like, okay, that's her gay. And so then Candace...
There can only be one.
One gay? Yeah, that's right. Until I like take his ankles class. Out.
Ryan's like, didn't you apply for my troupe a few years ago?
Yeah, I remember that guy from improv auditions. That's why he's limping in next to Ashley. He's like using his pickleball. He's using his pickleball paddle as a cane. He's like, oh.
Like, what happened, Stuart? I don't want to talk about it. It happened at the Groundling Theater.
It was big and it was bald and it was terrifying and extremely gay.
So
I'm like, yeah, Sam Stewart, bitch.
So Stewart arrives and then there's like silliness. Ash is like twerking and stuff. And then Karen is talking to Wendy, and she's saying, well, we're gonna play a game in a few minutes, but I just want you to be open to talking to each other today, and I'm going to do a few things that will encourage communication, okay? I'm gonna keep everyone at a line where they can have a conversation, but if it goes left, don't blame me. So she's like, I'm gonna stir the pot, by the way, but don't be mad at me, because I'm just doing what the producers want me to do.
I know. She's like, this is episode... Wait, what episode is this?
4.
This is episode 4, and people are still not speaking to each other. So we got to make an effort. We're making a TV show, guys. Let's make an effort here. So Karen makes the men go over and do the men thing. And then she splits everybody's up. She splits everybody up on teams. She's like, I want Wendy and me on my team. No questions in my event. All right, Candace is with Giselle and Ashley. Now enjoy yourselves and find out that we can all have fun together. Let's eat a pickle. Drop pickles. Why are there pickles on every table? I'm disturbed by this party.
It's too much. Well, everything's kind of messed up because, like, I'm not a big pickleball fan, but even I know that this is also an affront to pickleball because they have like 4 people on each side of the net. It doesn't make any sense. So NECA arrives and she's saying hi to everyone and she like hugs Mia and then she walks by Wendy. She's like, hey. And Wendy goes, hi. And then she just has this deranged smile on her face. Like, I'll keep smiling because I know the camera's on me. I'm just going to keep smiling and smiling until it swivels away.
Well, she's doing that thing where she won't look at her. She just says hi, but then she's standing with her pickleball paddle like straight ahead. And then she's like moving back and forth on her feet like in tennis, which I don't think you do in pickleball. But she's like, yep, I'm just concentrating on this pickleball game that's not happening.
I'm not being cold because I'm smiling and I'm playing pickleball.
Nobody knows that my mother has been calling threatening people lately, so just gonna keep smiling.
So and then there's like more tension because they're trying to figure out a team name, and NECA is like, what should we call ourselves, like Team Finishers? I don't know. And Wendy like is like, doesn't look at her, is like, what about Team Punishers? There's just like weird energy between the two of them. So
Speaking of weird energy, Ron and Wobbin, Juan and Wobbin. That's their couple name, Wobbin. So Wobbin. They come up and they drive up, and then we see like cast reviews flash on the screen of Juan and Robin, of Wobbin. And we just hear an echo voice as you see the quotes pop up. Wendy going, crossing the border for some hooch by Wendy Acefo.
Fraud
by Candace Bassett, singer.
Yeah. She doesn't have a job. Mia, lady. You're a CEO, CEO of a chiropractic practice that she was pushed out of. Your life is in shambles and it's a lie. Karen, offense.
I don't care, as Juan comes in and the music changes. And Candace is like, is that Juan Dixon, player from the Himalayas?
And then Karen's like, well, they're going through all this shit, but they come in like they've done nothing. And then Wendy's like, well, I thought they'd be in Canada speaking French or something.
I mean, she's trying. So then
Mia's like, why wouldn't he be here? He doesn't have a job. I mean, it's either, you know, pickleball or watch some TV.
Ma'am, might I remind you, you no longer have a job either. It's not time to jobless shame other people. Okay, give back your house. Give back everything that you've taken from that family, ma'am.
But the funny thing with me is that she literally has. She's like, yeah, we live in a one-bedroom apartment now. Welcome. So there's lots of hugs and stuff. And then Candace is like, you know, I'm racking my brains to find out what Robin's issue with me is. And I'm coming up short every single time. And they just show like all these headlines of Candace talking all this shit about Robin in the press and tweets saying like it's time to recast her.
Yes.
I don't know why she doesn't like me.
Candace Diller drags Robin Dixon for hiding Juan's cheating from Potomac cameras.
So Robin's like, yeah, this lady trashed me and my husband, so yeah, I'm not going to talk to her. So I'm like, this cast has some real dysfunction happening right now in a way that's not healthy for the show. Because it's one thing for people to have feuds, but if they're like not talking, that never works out well on Housewives.
Yeah, and we're about to get a whole season of this on Jersey. So come on, get it together, Potomac. You're my favorite. You're currently one of my, well, not my favorite, but not the ultimate right now, but they're still pretty good. So Karen is, Karen goes, oh my God, what is Robin wearing to pickleball? We don't need to see your vagina, Robin. No one wants it, including Juan. Oh, cut that. Matt, cut that now. Cut that.
Matt.
If Robin is in some kind of a black leotard with see-through tights, I'm not really sure. Pantyhose?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what she's doing either, but
it was a specific look. We've been seeing some athletic looks this week on Bravo because we also had what Gertie wore to the charity basketball game on Miami, which was also a look. Karen also calls Robin's outfit she goes, you look like a sheared Batman. So they're all playing. The guys are just like chuckling to the side because this is clearly not appropriate. This is clearly not pickleball rules, having four people on each side of the court. That's not a thing that happens in any racket game. And then we see team shit starters versus team finishers and lots of pickleball and people going into the kitchen, and they're not supposed to go in the kitchen on the court, you know. And then the men are playing, and then Robin's upset because she thought it was going to be like couples versus couples, but it's just this weird Karen Huger version of pickleball. And then finally everyone's like, okay, enough of this stupidity, let's just eat some food.
So Karen gives her speech. She's like, thank you everyone for coming. To be honest, not all of us are in good place, you know. There's Robin, Juan, Pickles, Ketchup. Actually, they're in a very good place. I hope that Juan and Robin become as good of a place as Pickles and Ketchup. There's my hope for you. I did have a speech planned, but honestly, I forgot it. Ray, what do you have to say about it? He's like, pickles are green. Good job, Ray.
All right, Ray, that was close enough. Sort of on theme, works for me. So then Juan and Ike are talking a little bit, like how talk about going to Maryland. And then Karen's like, everyone, okay, there's pickles on your table in case you didn't notice. So please open up your pickles. If you're gonna, please feel free to open up your pickles and enjoy a pickle on your table because it's pickleball.
So they start talking. Basically getting down to business, right? So she's like, oh, and speaking of the women, Robin showed up, and Robin didn't have to show up. And Robin's like, stop saying my name. I think she was trying to say something nice, Robin. Jeez. Yeah. But Robin's like, don't even say my name. So Juan walks off. He's like, I'm not going to be involved in mess already, right? And Ike's like, yeah, me too. I'm not going to listen to that. He's like, okay, Ike, you've been here 5 minutes. You're not even involved in anything yet, okay? You need to get involved. So he walks off. So NECA tries. She's like, listen, the message between us got lost, Wendy. And Wendy's like, okay, that's fail. Mm-hmm. And Ashley's like, okay, yeah, because I brought up a conversation that we had, and I told you the wrong thing, NECA, and I even told Wendy I told you the wrong thing. And NECA's like, and I appreciate that. And Candace is like, so you guys are good then? And NECA's like, well, I don't have a problem with her. And Wendy's like, I don't even know her. How could I have a problem with her? What? Who is she?
And NECA's like, did I just say that? So you're just repeating what I'm saying now? And Wendy's like, I'm not repeating what you're saying. I don't know you. That's a fact. She goes, yeah, but I did hear that you have a problem with me. And Wendy goes, how do I have a problem with you if I don't even know you? She goes, well, I'm aware of the phone call your mom made to my in-law saying that she submitted my name to a shrine. I was like, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. The old shrine fight. It's a classic on Bravo.
That really just tumbled out there. I was like, oh, yeah. This is good. I'm interested to see how this comes out. But I'm aware of the phone call your mother made to my in-law saying she's committed my name to a shrine. I was like, yes. What a packed sentence.
And then she's very lordly.
We go to commercial. The shrine commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. We come back. NECA goes, like, I heard and I'm aware. I was like, that's very lawyerly. I heard and I'm aware. I read in this clause that this was stated of the phone calls that your sister made to my in-laws about me being part of this group. And I'm aware of the phone call that your mom made to my in-law saying that she submitted my name to a shrine and threatening to send my in-law's name to a shrine. And Wendy's like, my mom? And she goes, yes, your mom said these things. She goes, sweetie, what in-law? What? I don't even know what in-law. So
No. So then we know that Wendy's lying, okay? Yes, because Wendy is the worst fucking liar. Okay, Wendy goes, sweetie, which, you know, is the first clue when she starts saying sweetie.
She's stalling.
But she goes, sweetie, I never called you. Who's your in-law? I never called you. Okay, so she didn't say that you called. She said that you're in. You know, Wendy tries to trip people up. So then NECA's like, Leba is my in-law. And she goes, well, I never called Leba. That's not the accusation. And you know it. And NECA's like, no, your sister called Leba and you were on the other line. And she goes, oh, okay. So now you're switching because you just said that I called her and I never called her. Well, that's not what she said. And this is why I can never be on Wendy's side in a fight, because she tries twisting it in a way that the other person never said this. And now she's going to make the other person saying this thing that they never said into the reason that that person's a liar. It makes me nuts.
Exactly. And so NECA says, I never said your sister. And Wendy's like, you just said I called her. And so NECA says, well, let me clear that shit up. And Wendy goes, so clear it the fuck up. And NECA says, I'm clearing it up, bitch. What the fuck are you talking about? She's basically like, shut the fuck up so I can explain. And then Candace's like, wow. Candace, who has like one of the dirtiest mouths on this show, suddenly is like clutching her pearls.
Candace, who they just showed a clip of saying, you're a dwindling uterus.
I know. She's like, you called her a bitch.
So now they're just, you know, being messy. So NECA's like, well, don't tell me to clear it the fuck up. And Wendy's like, I've been nothing but nice to you and you call me a bitch. Your mother just said that she's putting her name in shrines. What are you not hearing here? So then Karen is telling Giselle, this is your fault. And they're laughing. And then Wendy's like, I don't know you. And NECA says, well, you know me well enough for your mother to threaten me. And Wendy says, pull out the phone records then. Which, why didn't you? Now let's go back to this. NECA, where are the phone records? Pull them out. I would like to see them as well.
Yes. Well, we do see them on screen, but she obviously does not have them there at that moment. So NECA is, she's like, you know, she called my in-law on Good Friday, like Good Friday to that. And Wendy goes, you sound so crazy. And Mia is like, well, you know, by the way, she said the same thing about me. She called me a bird brain. So that just goes to show. I mean, would a bird brain immediately make up with Wendy in a few minutes? I don't think so.
Mia, why are you eating the pickles without your hands? You're just dunking your face down into the jar. I don't know.
Bird brain. So Wendy's like, you've been a hater since day one. And NECA's like, girl, bye. Hate you. Like, what? Like, why would I hate you for one? Whatever she says. So Wendy's like, she's like, yeah, for everything. You've hated me.
You failed. You tried to attack me, but you failed.
She's like shredding.
You failed. You tried it. You failed.
So NECA's like, okay, she has no response for me. That's what this means.
Ding dong.
NECA's like, attack you for what? Like, what did I attack you for? And Wendy goes, it's a flop.
I just wrote, Wendy is so cringe sometimes. Wendy's fighting is so cringe. So then NECA's like, go ahead, put on a show, baby. And Wendy just keeps repeating, ding dong, 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 ding dong. Flop, 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 you're a flop, you're a flop, you're a flop, you're a flop.
And so then we cut to the guys, and Eddie's like, well, look, Juan, as long as they're not talking about you. And Juan's like, oh, man. He's like, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm just a humanitarian. And Eddie's like, well, you know, everyone and their mom wants to talk about this fellow. It's like, and you don't give a shit. I like this one. This guy's great. And it cuts to Ike just sort of scowling, because we didn't mention that when Eddie and Wendy walk in, Eddie goes up to Ike and shakes his hand and goes, Eddie, hey, I'm Eddie. And it's like, Ike is like, what the fuck? Like, We were Facebook friends.
So then Juan's like, you think I give a shit? I don't care. Nobody's perfect, which is Juan's like, that's what I mean by it. Always sounds like Juan's confessing to the guys. So yeah. Then Robin is talking to Ashley and she's like, well, look, NECA told me this when we met for dinner and she's not going to let her get out of anything. And Ashley's like, wait, do you mean there's more to the story? And Robin's like, yeah, and she's not going to let her get out of it by just repeating herself over and over again. Because that's what Wendy's trying to do. She's trying to shut down this conversation because obviously, NECA hasn't gotten the whole thing out, right? Mm-hmm. And so Candace is saying, Wendy's not responsible for what her mother and sister do, which, of course, is convenient for Candace, whose mother is right. A disaster. But I mean, I do agree with her. Lord knows, I cannot be... Please do not hold anything my mother does against me. Good God, you know?
And then so NECA's like, so Candace, you're okay with that then? And Candace says, I'm not saying I'm okay with that, but as a singer... who's about to go on tour and about to receive a tour gift of potentially a dishwasher, you shouldn't hold her to a standard because her mom and her sister said something.
So then Wendy's like, let me be clear. There was a conversation had with her and Ashley about an article that came up about having about us being Evo and this thing about being Osu. And you say this thing about the shrine and that is false and that incriminates her because that speaks to that Osu article that she brought to Ashley.
And then Ashley's like, oh my God, I already told Wendy that I miscommunicated the conversation. Oops. And I have NECA and like the fact that she introduces it, that wasn't necessary. Oh my God, I didn't plan for this to happen at all.
So then Wendy's like, the whole notion of Osu, she's incriminating herself, you know? And she's saying, you were at my child's first communion, and my mother worships the Holy Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we see a clip of the mom being like, as the mother to these children, I say yes. Thank you for letting me have these children out of my own womb.
These children who I birthed. Between my legs. And NECA's like, yeah, at day she worships Jesus Christ, but by night she's submitting names to shrines. And everyone's like, so the producer's like asking everyone, does everyone think that the shrine is real? And so they're like, Giselle's like, yes, of course, I'm sorry. And everyone's just kind of like, yeah, but I don't want to say it because I don't want her to do stuff to me. I don't want to be the witchcraft, product of the witchcraft.
And she's like, well, do I believe the mother did that? Well, I do not believe that she's capable of praying to anyone but God because she prayed for me. She prayed for me during my very difficult time trying to get the invisible pickle off my nose. She was there. She was there praying for me. And I look at me, I've become a fench. I've officially become a fench. So.
Candace is like, I don't do witchcraft. I don't do shrines. This is not my ministry. It's not my portion. I don't want it. All I do is sing beautifully without Drusadora and go on tour.
So Wendy's like, I don't believe her. I can't believe she's saying this because the only shrine I know of as a Catholic is a shrine in downtown Baltimore. Okay.
Yeah, and she says it's not negative and it's not rooted in black magic. I was like, wait, I thought this was going to be a burn. But is this actually just a statement of... Is this just information we're getting? So then Robin's like, I feel like you guys can work this all out if you're just in a quiet situation. And Wendy's like, do you know who I want to work it out with? Here's who I want to work it out with. I want to work it out with Mia. Yeah, let's do Mia. So she just pulls Mia to have a conversation with her. And so everyone's like, okay, this is obvious. Blatantly obvious deflection.
Right. Pretty obvious what she's doing. So Giselle's like, she wants to talk to Mia. Mia, the one you call dumb and stupid. You want to talk to her? I mean, yes, everybody's called Mia dumb and stupid. They still have to have scenes with her. But I do agree it's deflection. So Wendy and Mia. So Wendy's like, I mean, she called me a bitch. Now listen, I mean, even you and I, even though we've had trouble, and Mia goes, yeah, we have. And she's, okay, you're right. We've called each other bitch before. And then we see a clip of last year with Wendy going, you crater-faced bitch.
We see like a montage that is as current as last week, Wendy saying, you're so slow, I vibrate so high.
Yeah.
So Wendy's like, but Mia, you did throw a drink in my face and I want to have a conversation to show that we can coexist and that we're good and that I never had my mom submit your name to a shrine, even though now you have lost your job and your marriage is about to end and everything's gone terribly for you since that incident.
That's actually true, huh? That's actually true. The only one who hasn't gone through it is Giselle, but maybe she's next. Who knows? Because Robin, the whole thing happened with Juan. So let's see. I don't know. Maybe there's something to this. So Candace and NECA are talking, and Candace is like, listen, you know, you're the Nigerian girls. You shouldn't be fighting. You know, you're supposed to be a strong community. And she goes, no, this isn't cultural because the sister says the mom has a shrine. And Karen's like, yeah, that's voodoo. And NECA says, yeah, a shrine is voodoo. That's not even a cultural thing. Like, no one's saying that, no one's accusing the mom of being Osu, so therefore she has a shrine, right? At least that's right. What I'm taking from it. They're saying this is beyond Catholicism and this is beyond our culture. This is straight up voodoo.
Yeah. At which point then Chafer falls over to the ground and like the sterno is like on fire on the astroturf and it's like, the voodoo is happening. By the way though, like I would get really mad if a fellow gay like came at me and then someone said, Ben, but you guys are both gay, you should get along. Like, no. What does that have to do with anything? They're being nasty to me.
Well, there's something like only two in improv, you know, and one of you has a limp. Come on, Ben. So everyone's screaming and Candace is like, this is the demons coming to get us. And Karen's like, Juan Dixon, come to me, man to woman, woman to woman. Did you try to set my event on fire, my pickle event? Thank God we've got jars of vinegar over here to douse this up.
And he's like, oh, come on, Karen, bring it in. And turns out in the instant replay, it turns out Juan was playing pickleball a bit too aggressively and crashed into the chain link fence, which knocked over the food, which looked like some lovely mac and cheese was lost.
And Juan's like, no, I wouldn't do that. Listen, I've got some demons too. I was like, wow, Juan, just look at Juan just confessing everywhere but to Robin. Yeah.
I thought he said, I'm wearing some heels too. And I was so confused. I was like, what? He's wearing heels? I was like, is this an expression people say?
Oh, so then Karen is like, oh, he's a professional athlete. He can hit the ball wherever he wants to, but no, you're going to knock over my pickles? It's on between me and Juan. So then, let's see here. Wendy is basically telling Candace, I was so nice to her at Ashley's thing. You know, I gave her my number, but then she comes at me like this. And guess what? You come at me with guns, but guess what? I got motherfucking bazooka. So come again. Fail. Flop.
And Mia's like, guess what, NECA? Now she's got a problem with you. And NECA's like, well, that's okay, because the problem started with her family, not because of anything that I did, okay? Because people say, do you know this person? And I said, I met them and I know them. And it's like, is that a crime? And Wendy's like, let me tell you something, favor isn't fair, okay? And because God's worked overtime on me, don't be mad that he clocked out to lunch on your ass. Ha,
she's a lawyer. What are you talking about, Wendy? Wendy's like, she's just jealous. I mean, you're talking about another professional like woman who does very, very well. No one is jealous. Yeah. Cut it out. No one's jealous of your YouTube show, Wendy.
Exactly. And Vivian's like, oh God, Jesus, take the wheel. That was like her one line. So then NECA is like, you know what?
Can we stop asking Jesus to drive, by the way? You know, that is some country shit. It's being like, Jesus take the wheel. Jesus didn't drive? Are you kidding? The man barely had decent soles on his feet. I think Jesus liked to sit down. That's what I say. Jesus didn't have cars. Stop asking Jesus to drive.
Jesus, make some coffee. He probably didn't know how to do that either.
No. You know what he did? Multiplied some bread. Isn't that good enough? Jesus. Bread. That is reason enough to become our Lord and Savior. The man could take one piece of carb and turned it into like thousands. So I'll give you whatever you need. Jesus
have a dinner party. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Jesus have some butter. Jesus take the butter.
So NECA then she's still talking and she's like, you know what? After Wendy's mom called my in-law and said that she submitted my name to a shrine, her husband unfollowed my husband on Facebook. And then NECA's basically revealing that Eddie and Ike went to college together and they know of each other. I mean, it's like, really? Did they speak? Were they like friends? Did they actually speak to each other? And NECA's like, well, yeah. I mean, although it may be the same fake shit that Wendy did with me, so who knows?
And then Mia's like, well, I'm sorry, but if you're on Facebook, then that means you know someone. And if you have to scroll all the way down and unfollow them, then you definitely know them.
Which, you know, that's Mia logic. There's plenty of people on Facebook I don't know.
There are, but like you still know of, like, well, there are a few that I just don't know who, like, I randomly accepted a friendship request for, like, years ago. And then like, who is this person again? But I still, I don't know. There's still, like,
to unfollow them, like, you have to make an effort, though. I do agree with that.
Like, you have to have you still have to see their face and think about it and everything. So,
yeah, like, you have to search them. You have to search them and your friends and then unfollow them.
And also, honestly, I feel like with Facebook, I don't even unfriend anymore. I'm just like, it's too much work. Just watch, look at your horrible content.
Well, because I feel like they knew that they were following, because when you get cast on the show, of course, you're going to look on your socials and see, like, how do I know any of these people or whatever? Exactly. And they're going to look you up and be like, how do we know any of these people? So between then and now, she's like, we don't know them. You know, Wendy's like, unfollow, unfollow. So then Mia is asking Ike, like, do you talk to Eddie and do you know him? And then Eddie's like, so do you know Ike? Do you know Ike? And Eddie's like, I just met him. I mean, and she's like, you were friends on Facebook, right? And he goes, but I know a lot of people on Facebook. Yeah. And Wendy's like, uh-oh, now you got Eddie activated. Eddie's super mad now. Eddie does not look activated. He just looks like, oh my God, what the fuck do I say now?
What did my wife get me into? I just said I would unfriend this person on her request, and now look at this. So now Eddie's like, we're standing with Ike. And Mia's like, well, you just said he unfollowed me on Facebook. And Ike is like, yeah, Eddie, what's up with that? And Eddie's like, when did I unfollow you on Facebook? Like, what am I doing on Facebook unfollowing you? What? What's Facebook? Is it a book about faces? I don't understand. What's a computer? And so Ike is like, yeah. So then, but NECA is like trying to be like, yeah, I mean, you unfollowed him. You unfollowed him. And Ike's like, let me address this. Like, come on, let me address this. And Eddie's like, I just met you today. I don't know. I don't know who you are. You're Ike, who went to University of Maryland, who maybe like you had some classes together and we're like friends and like we're in the same frat. I don't know. I don't know who you are. Who are you? I've never seen this person before.
So I don't know who I believe in all this. It just seems so weird. The cover up of it all seems so weird. Like,
I think Eddie fully unfollowed him. I think Eddie knew who this guy was for sure.
Yeah, but do you think that the mom is really calling and threatening people and that Leba called and said, yes, hey, listen, you know, the mom put your name in a shrine. And she also said, you better ask around DC because everybody knows that I'm the shrine lady. And I will ruin
it. 100% shit. Believe it.
I do too. So what's the deal? Is Wendy just like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing, and she doesn't want to say anything against her mother? I mean, I feel like if it was me, I'd just be like, listen, my mom could have said that, but Ashley started this whole thing and it upset my mom. And then before you know it, you know, my mom's threatening people. I'm so sorry. I'm horrified. This is all fucking Ashley's fault.
Well, because Wendy will always, like, her family is, I think she will always go after someone before she, like, throws her, like, well, she would consider throwing her family under the bus. Like, she would just, especially if Wendy had any say on this, if Wendy was like, yeah, like, fuck this girl, mom, go put her name in the shrine. Of course, Wendy's going to deny it. But, like, I think your response is, like, I think a normal person would just be like, oh my God, I'm sorry. My mom sometimes gets protective, you know? But I'll speak to her. I'll tell her.
I feel like my mom would put someone's name in a shrine, and she doesn't even do voodoo. I just think she'd write someone's name down and burn it if they fucked with her or something, or do something. I mean, I'm sure that my mom is like at the very least prayed against people, you know.
My mom's version of that would be to go. That's her version of putting her name in a shrine.
That's her mom's hex. Like,
that her my mom's hex is like, if like you do me wrong, she's like, she does that, and then it's in there. It's in her head. Uh-huh. She doesn't need a shrine. It's in my mom's brain.
Love it. Well, that brings us to the end. This will be interesting. I mean, overall.
Wait, no.
It's not over?
Because then Ike is basically like, because then Ike, then they're like Ike, he's trying to like be like, what's going on, Eddie? What's up with this? And then NECA is like trying to sort of also talk, and then Ike like sort of loses his mind. He's like, I said, baby, stay out of it. Hey man, Eddie, what's going on? And Eddie's like, Well, I just met you here today. And I was like, so you don't know me? Like, you, come on, just like say it. You got to say it to my face. Like, you're going to really say it to my face? Like, you don't know me? And he's like, no, I've never seen you before in my life. And then they basically accuse Ike and NECA of like trying to have like a moment and like trying to basically have like a reality show moment. And then, yeah, I guess it is sort of over because then it's just like Wendy and NECA just trading even more words at the end. And
oh, it must have gotten really good because I just stopped typing. I just was like, boom, I'm done. Bye.
No, because then it's like, and then NECA and Wendy are talking and NECA is like, this is absurd. And Wendy goes, oh, you brought it up. So now it's absurd. And she goes, well, your mom did it. So yes, it is absurd. And Wendy's like, no, your mama. Say my mama's name again. Your mama.
Oh, no.
Your mama. And then NECA goes, your mom's a witch. And then the guys all laugh. And then Giselle's like, Eddie does not want that smoke. Because Eddie's like trying to get out of there. And Karen's like, well, I hope you all can have this conversation sometime. Not at Pickleball for these pickles. And then Juan just turns to Ike and goes, welcome to the circus.
Okay, so I don't know, but I think Wendy's full of it with her whole like, what, you said I called you, then you're lying. Like that right away, I was like, Wendy, come on. This is Wendy fighting dishonestly against NECA. So then that made me just believe everything that NECA says. And honestly, I still do. Because I feel like if she was making it up, she would have made it up in episode one. She wouldn't have waited until after that stuff happened in episode one. Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I fully believe NECA because this is so outrageous. She looks, when she told the story last week, she had a look in her eye like, can you believe this crazy shit? I have to tell you this is bizarre. To me, does not feel like a thirsty thing. I actually don't feel like NECA and Ike are very thirsty in general. I think they're just like standard reality show people. So I guess given that there is a base level of thirst that comes with that, but I fully believe NECA on this. And I think that Wendy is trying to deny and Eddie's backpedaling because he got into this situation. I mean, I felt like Eddie was so caught. It was hilarious. And didn't love the way Ike snapped at NECA. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. We will be back with Crappy Hour tomorrow. Well, it's tonight live, but it'll be replaying through audio tomorrow. Also, we are going to do an Amazon Cyber Monday sale on our bonus episode. So if you want to come shopping with us on Cyber Monday, head over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's also where you get the videos for this here recap. Okay? So we're on video every day now.
I'm so excited. All right. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.